And you come here, the little one. Hare Krishna. Generally, spiritual topics are based on questions and answers. So, do you have any question that you can start our discussion with? If you don't, then I have to take another course. I'll give you just 1 minute to think over. In the meantime, I'll say some prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, did anyone get any question to ask? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just was reading and I understood that everything that surrounds Lord Krishna, in service to Krishna, is Lord Balaram. And I was wondering if when Lord Kalki comes on the white horse, would Lord Balaram be the white horse?
Yes. Yes. Very good. Actually, all the articles of Krishna's, all the articles that Krishna uses, all the articles that are engaged in Krishna's, utilized in Krishna's service, are actually expansions of Balaram. Like, for example, when Krishna becomes Vishnu, and then he needs a bed to lie on, and who is that bed?
Anantakshacha.
That is Balaram. When Krishna even lies on a bed in Vrindavan, that is also Balaram, expansion. When you worship Krishna with different articles, different paraphernalia in the temple, they are also expansion. Like the ghee lamp, bell, chamara, peacock fan. So they are all expansions of Balaram. Even here. Therefore we must treat them accordingly. Thank you. Any other question? Hare Krishna.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Yes, I had a small question. is Lord Balaramji's plough his expansion, or is that the position that
okay, that's a good point. That's a good question.
Could also have as a service.
Yeah. Yeah, they are also expansions of Balaram. So, if there is no other question, then I will also suggest that while going through the class, question yourself whether you understood everything. And if you did not understand something, don't hesitate to ask a question. Because mind you, the spiritual development is based on questions. How many of you know that verse, Tadvidhi Pranipatena? How many of you know? Please raise your hand. Okay. And what is the next line? Pariprashnena. Pariprashnena means? What's the meaning of the word Pariprashnena? Sincere inquiry, sincere question. So first consideration is pranipatena, offering obeisance, so approaching the spiritual teacher in a humble state of mind, showing proper respect to him. Offering obeisances means, I am surrendered to you. Please impart the knowledge. That's how a student must approach a teacher. And then what should the student do? Then the student must ask questions because he wants to know that subject. If one approaches a teacher to learn something, then isn't it natural to conclude that he doesn't know and he has to know? Therefore, when we come to a class like this in a temple, we should always question at the back of mind, did I really understand what he's saying? Otherwise, it will become a social thing. Oh, a Swami has come, let's go and see him. Oh, such and such person is giving a class today on Bhagavad Gita, let's go and listen to him. It's a social thing. It shouldn't be a social thing, it should be a spiritual quest. Isn't it? How many of you agree with me? I'm very impressed. Thank you. Otherwise, what will happen? That you'll notice that it happens. Devotees, people come attracted somehow to Krishna consciousness, and they hang around for a while, and then they disappear. I'm saying it because at the back of my mind I'm thinking, where are those so many people that I used to know 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago? Many of them are not here. And I'm wondering, why not? I mean, if their spiritual quest was sincere, and if our presentation was genuine, then this would have happened. ISKCON is not just a social club that I take a membership, hang around for a while, and then go away. No, it is a commitment for life. A And not only commitment for life, it's a commitment for eternity, life after life. So why should we come to ISKCON and then leave, go away? Somewhere something is wrong then. Oh, I didn't notice this garden. So it shouldn't happen. I'll tell all of you, make it a point that whenever somebody comes here, it is your responsibility to make sure that he never leaves. Not only that, you remain fixed up, you make everyone else also fixed up. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, someone was telling me that there are many devotees who are here. I think it was Harishchandra who was saying, who were very involved 10, 20 years ago, but they don't even come to the temple. And it was his, he was actually urging me, he was requesting me that I try to bring them back. And my immediate reaction was, sure, I'll do that. And I told him, next time I come here, please tell them that I would like to see them. I would like to meet them. Sidharam, I'm very happy to meet you.
Hare Krishna.
Very happy to see you.
Hare Krishna.
And I was wondering where you are.
They never told me. By providence, I went to the library on Tuesday and found out you were coming. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come.
Oh, yeah, also temple authorities make it a point to inform everybody. Whoever, at least whoever I know, or I knew, have a database. Whether devotees are coming or not, whoever had been involved in ISKCON at any point in time, have a database, and when some senior devotees come, inform them. Make it a point. And next time I come, I would like to personally meet them. This time, of course, it was my coming here was quite sudden. I was not sure whether I would be able to come to Ratha Yatra in Durban. Because Ratha Yatra fell just 2 days after Gaur Purnima. And this is the first time ever since I joined ISKCON, I didn't spend my Gaur Purnima in India. The first time I spent the Gaur Purnima outside of India. And that was because of Durban Ratha Yatra, the 25th anniversary. So, make it a point to inform everybody. And if necessary, go out of your way to bring them. Come to Krishna consciousness. Or wait for them when they'll be ready. And it will happen. I mean, just to give once a godbrother of mine was telling me that in one temple in America, one person used to come since 1971. He used to come to the temple. Hari Gol, how are you? When do you come back? Vijay Prabhu ki jai. My old friend and God, very dear God brother. And it was until the 90s, for about 25 years, he had been coming to the temple. You know, just attending, but never joined. He didn't even take up to chanting, but he somehow was attracted and he used to come to the temple. And then he stopped coming. And just as it happened, the devotees practically forgot about him. Then one day he moved into the temple. He said that he wants to join the temple. And so my godbrother, who is in charge of that place, Ravindra Prabhu, so he asked him, what happened for so many years? You have been coming, but didn't join, and then you disappeared. Then why all of a sudden you want to come back? And he told him that he just found out that he got cancer. It's a good sign. Like at least at a very, very critical time when you realize that there is no way out, then you come to Krishna. How you come to Krishna, that doesn't matter. What really matters is that you do come to it, that you come to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So similarly, there are so many such cases. Another godbrother of ours, he served Srila Prabhupada, and we served Srila Prabhupada together. And we are very good friends. And I used to inquire about him. I mean, at one point he just left the movement. And nobody knew where he was. And then one day he showed up in our temple in Australia, New Govardhan. And he actually was about to die when he moved into the temple. And he left his body in a glorious way. Although he was away from Krishna consciousness for so many years, now he was leaving his body, surrounded by devotees, chanting the holy name. That's how he left his body. So even if one comes to Krishna consciousness, comes back to Krishna consciousness, even if it is at the time of death, we should go out of our way to bring him. Because Krishna consciousness is actually teaching us the art of dying. It teaches us the art of dying in order to achieve immortality. We learn how to die to become immortal. That's what Krishna consciousness is. So here we are. We simply have one business. Our business is to help others to come to Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying that who is my most dear devotee? Who is most dear to me? Who is the most dear devotee of Krishna? Those who go out and those who sing the glory of Krishna. Whoever said Radharani, that's also true. She is the best devotee, no doubt. But in general, the best devotees are those who go out and preach Krishna consciousness. Bhuvi grinanti je bhuri dajana. Those who distribute the mercy of Krishna to others, they are the most munificent personalities. Bhuvi grinanti ye bhuvi dajana.
Excuse me, Maharaj, may I just say, this person is Armand, and he came here for the first time today, but I would just like, in order of what you are saying, to add how he has arrived here. Yesterday, I had some small business to attend in the suburb up the road, and I was feeling sick because my diabetes and hypertension was giving me trouble. So I decided arbitrarily to walk a long distance just to come and take some shelter at the temple. And along the way, he stopped me and tried to attract my attention. Because I get this all the time, I was feeling horrible, so I didn't really notice him. I just walked past and smiled. But he didn't give up. He followed me and insisted that I tell him what this is about. So he, and then I brought him to my class while preaching to him. We walked to the temple and I came in and said, please come tomorrow so that you can actually see what this is all about. And then I was quite amazed that Krishna had arranged just somehow or the other for me to be in this place that I had no business with, just so I could bring him here tonight. So here he is, you know, and it's the beginning of his life.
Yes. Very good. Hare Krishna. So, so give it out to others. Like when you have something very special, something very precious, do you just want to enjoy it yourself or you want to share it with others? Yeah. Even a, even better example will be, or better approach will be, say, if there is an epidemic and if you know the cure, will you just cure yourself with that medicine? Naturally, you'll cure yourself, but you'll try to cure others as well because you have the medicine. Now, that's how we have to look at this world. This world is infested with a deadly disease. And we have the cure. We have the cure, therefore we must give it to others. Now, how you're going to give it to others, that's that their life, the real expertise. Like here is a kind of a, this is a kind of a disease that those who are suffering from the disease, they don't understand that they have the disease and they don't want to admit that they have the disease, most cases. Now, you have to give them the disease, give them the medicine. How will you do it? If you're an expert doctor, you have to figure out how you're going to give it to them. And that is preaching. Preaching is an art. Preaching is a technique. Those who are coming to you, fine, you give it to them. But those who are not coming to you, you have to go out of your way to give it to them. Okay, thank you very much. Now, I have some, I have a few stanzas of a poetry in front of me, and it looks like you also have it with you. It's an English poem, but you know who it was written by? How many of you know who it was written by? It was written by one of our acharyas. I have given you the cue, now you tell me what's the answer. Who is the? Who wrote this? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Once I showed this poem to somebody and he told me this is the most profound and most beautiful poem he has ever read. There are many big English poets. There are many famous English poets. How many of you studied literature, English literature? Please raise your hand. Okay, very good. Can you tell me how many poets, English poets, wrote poetry maintaining a proper rhyme and meter? Shyamananda indicated this. I would say that. One or two are there. One of them is actually Coleridge. Coleridge is famous for. He was about the only one. Wordsworth, sometimes he maintained rhyme and meter, most of the times he did not. And most of the English poets did not maintain. Whether it's Keats, Shelley, Byron. They have profound thoughts, no doubt about that. Like, my heart aches, and the drowsy numbness pains my senses, as the hemlock I had drunk. Who is that? Keats. Ode to the Nightingale. Or she walks in the beauty as the night. And Hare Krishna. So you can just keep it there and everybody will take it.
Yeah.
Just enough. But see, look at this poetry. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It goes like, alas for those, let's just go through the meter and rhyme. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. See? What a beautiful meter. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. The dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. The rhyme, joy and employ. So beautiful. And the entire poetry actually maintains this standard. Like to give an example, I mean, some English poet maintain similar kind of rhyme. Is, as I mentioned, is Coleridge. See the similarity. The day was bare, the harbor clear, merrily did we drop, below the hill, below the kirk, below the lighthouse stop. You see the similarity of meter? The day was bare, the harbor clear, merrily did we drop, below the hill, below the kirk, below the lighthouse stop. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, see, next stanza. The shining bottle charm their eyes and draw their hearts and breath. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. And the entire poetry maintains this very strict rhyme and meter. This has 22 stanza. I have selected only 6. And so we'll just read through the thing first, and then we will discuss about this poetry. The flesh is not our own, alas, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. Forget the past that slips and never, the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Ushara-grahi Vaishnava soul, there's a mistake, there's a double L, and there are 4 L's in the last previous one.
No exclamation marks.
But then, no, the and progress they shall come. How many L's are there? Progress they shall come. And O Sharadgrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair, lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. There rests my soul from matter free, upon my lover's arms, eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. So, actually, in a way, this, in a, although there are 20, you know, like it's a beautiful poem, very deep, very profound, and there are 22 stanzas, but this 6 is practically giving us somewhat the understanding. It's starting, I gave the first 2 stanzas and last 2 stanzas of the poem. In between, I just added 2, kept 2. So what does it mean? Alas for those, alas for those, yes, alas for those, alas for those, that means I feel pity for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. Those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. Those who are spending their days trying to enjoy in this material nature. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that I alas for those who spend their days time searching for enjoyment in this material nature. And the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. What they're allured by, what they're attracted by, the dazzling, the forms in this material, the attractive forms of the material nature for our sense gratification appear to be very dazzling, very brilliant. But at the same time, they're deadly. In one hand they're dazzling, but they're deadly. And liquid. Liquid means transient. Like, have you seen the liquid forms? That, in 2 ways we can look at it. It melts very easily, liquid form. Or, look at a fountain. It's a form that is made of water. But look at the form. It appears to be there, but does it? It's a continuous flow of water. The dazzling, deadly, liquid forms. And for that, their hearts forever employ. Their heart is constantly engaged, constantly attracted to these dazzling, deadly, liquid forms of sense gratification in this material. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is feeling pity for them. Alas for those. Now, isn't that the condition of most of the people in this material nature? Then, he is comparing their condition like that of a drunkard. The people, those who are absorbed in material sense gratification, sense gratification is material nature, their condition is like a drunkard. Like, drunkard doesn't really have sanity. His mind doesn't work properly. He doesn't know what's what. Being intoxicated, he acts in a way which is actually insane. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that shining bottles charm their eyes. A drunkard, what is the most desirable object to a drunkard? Do you know? I'm sure you know. It's a bottle of wine, a bottle of liquor. That shining bottle Johnny Walker. The shining bottle charmed their eyes, and draw their heart's embrace. The shining bottle charmed their eyes, and draw their heart's embrace. They're so attracted to it. The slaves of wine, these people, those who have become slaves of wine, can never rise from what we call disgrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from their disgraceful condition. Now, what is our condition in this material nature? Our condition in the material nature is like, we are considering this body to be our self. Isn't that the condition that we all are in? If somebody asks you, who are you? What will be your answer? Who are you? You don't have to tell me. You got the answer yourself. I am so and so. I am the son of such and such person. This is what my occupation. This is where I live. But all these designations are whose designation? All these designations are body's designation. The body's designation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, this body made of flesh and bones is not our own. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame, this body which is perishable, this mortal frame, a chain with which we have been tied down to this material nature. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame, a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. The soul that has been confined for former wrongs means past sinful activities. What is that former wrong? What is the real sin? That we rejected Krishna. That's why we have become confined. In this material, the soul has become confined to this material body and entrapped, bound in this material nature. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. The soul will try to rise again. When will the soul rise again? When he comes across that Sharadrahi Vaishnava. So that is the name of that's the title of the poetry, Sharadrahi Vaishnava. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. Now look at our condition in this material nature. What is happening? We are constantly either dwelling in the past or dreaming about the future. A little while ago, I had a meeting with some devotee, and she was telling me that how she is suffering, how she is feeling due to some happenings in the past. She is so much into anxiety. And then I told her about this line, forget the past. Thinking about the past, worrying about the past, what will you gain? Can you rectify that? Rectify the happening, rectify the situation. What has happened in the past? So forget it. Let it sleep. Forget the past that sleeps. And never future dream at all. And don't dream about the future. Forget the past that sleeps and never the future dream at all. But act in times. But act in times that are with thee. What is the time that is with you? What is the time? The present. Act with time, act in times that are with thee, as progress thee shall go. And that will be real progress. You'll call that real progress. Progress thee shall go. Then he is coming to the last two lines. Now we are coming to the last two lines of that. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul. Sharagrahi, it's actually a Sanskrit word. It's a Bengali word also. Sharagrahi means one who takes the essence. And you know what is the example of extracting the essence? Like a swan. You know, swan, you give a swan a mixture of milk and water. The swan will take only the milk and discard the water. So that's why the saintly personalities are compared to a swan. So Bhaktivinod Thakur is actually talking about a swan-like personality. A Vaishnava is a swan-like personality. He simply attracts the accepts the essence and rejects the unimportant. He takes, separates milk from water, and that is the quality of a swan, that is the quality of a Vaishnava. Who in the world of, when there is a mixture of spiritual and material, what does it take? He accepts the spiritual and rejects the material. So that is a pure devotee Vaishnava. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. You are like a fair angel. What does an angel do? Lead me on to Vrindavan. And spirit's power declare the power of the spirit. Then the last line, last stanza is so beautiful. There rests my soul. What happens when the Sharagrahi Vaishnava leads us to Vrindavan? There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Who is the lover?
Krishna.
Our real lover is Krishna. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. So what is the ultimate destination of our spiritual pursuit? That the Sharagrahi Vaishnava is leading us to is that loving embrace of Krishna. There rests my soul from matter free from the bondage of matter. Upon my lover's arms. And then only we experience eternal peace. Material nature is full of turmoil, full of conflict. Full of suffering, full of misery. But spiritual world is free from anxiety. Total freedom from anxiety. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. Okay. How do you like this poem? If anybody wants to get this poem, you go to Google. Yeah, that's, we must admit that. They're doing an amazing job, actually. You go to Google and just punch Sharagrahi. Sharagrahi Vaishnava. Or you can punch Alas for Those. And you'll get this poetry. So, we like to sing bhajan. What do you think of singing an English bhajan today? Like the idea? I hope you won't laugh at me. Okay. Give me C sharp. Alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Can you play the beat? Alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid form their hearts forever enthrall. Shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Is not our own, alas, the mortal frame a change. The soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again. Forget the past that sleeps and never the future dream at all, but act in times that are with thee and progress thee shall call. Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. Kosharagrahi Vaishnavaso Thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. From matter feet upon my lover's arms, eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. My soul from matter free upon my lover's arm, eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms.
There is my soul.
Spend their days in festive mirth and joy. The dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever and Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Ro, Hari Ro, Hari Ro. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Okay, does anybody have any question now? Yes, Shamananda.
Well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us not to consider the past or the future, and just to try and stay in the present.
Yeah.
But in practice, we find that the present is such a fleeting moment.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, it's so difficult to keep one's consciousness in the present.
Yeah.
So how to do that? How to keep the consciousness?
Well, as much as possible, focus on the present. That means utilize the time for Krishna. Then the present will become eternal. Use the time for Krishna. Use the body, mind, words in the service of Krishna. Like, we have to always consider, like, what is this body meant for? The body has only two purposes. Sense gratification or service to Krishna. Mind has only two purposes: to take our consciousness and project it into matter, or think about Krishna, project it onto Krishna. And words, we can either glorify ourselves or we can glorify Krishna. So in this way, if the body, mind and words are engaged in the service of Krishna, that is the ultimate perfection of our existence. When you do that, is there room for dreaming about the future and wondering about the past?
Actually, something amazing happens when we actually project our consciousness in the past.
Right, that's what I mean. Right. Yeah, past and future disappear. And that's how in the spiritual world there is only present. In the spiritual past and future are just a projection of, you know, some sort of thoughts. It's eternally present. In the here, past is constantly flowing, I mean present is, I mean future is constantly flowing into the past through present. As you say, present is just a fleeting concept. Okay. Any other question? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gold Premanande.